call to order the August 3rd meeting of the Story County Board of Adjustments. Could we have a roll call, please?
Miller.
Aye.
Larson absent. Fehlmeyer absent. McGill.
Here.
Scarlett.
Here.
Okay, the board members, you've been provided with a tentative agenda for tonight's meeting. Do you have any changes or additions to note? Okay. If not, all in favor of approval agenda for tonight's meetings, indicate by indicating aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. Okay. We're good. We have some minutes. The minutes that were submitted as part of our packets were the minutes from the June 1st, 2011 meeting. Do we have any corrections or changes or alterations to those minutes that were proposed? Hearing none, the minutes shall stand approved as they are mailed in the packets. For anybody who's new to the Board of Adjustments, I'd like to kind of indicate to you what the hearing process is as we go through these. Essentially, we start off these hearings with the planning staff presenting the staff report. We also hear about any letters or communications that have been received by the public prior to the meeting. We will then ask the applicant or the representative to present their case. Again, we will ask for comments from the public that will be heard based upon the application. And we want to turn around and say that, you know, we want to talk about repetitious comments and et cetera like that, maybe ask to move along. After we've received those comments and the applicant has had a final chance to have a closing statement, then the hearing will be closed. We'll have no further comments from the public. The applicants are otherwise addressed by the board. So then we will deliberate and formulate and make a ruling. So when it's done, we know the end at the end of the meeting. Has everybody signed in on the way in? If you haven't, we would certainly appreciate that. Yes, you're free to take that care of that. We appreciate it. In terms of general comments from the public, do we have anybody from the public that has general comments for the Board of Adjustments at this point in time? Okay. If not, we will move on to our agenda. The first item that we have is VAR 04-10, and we have a request to reconsider a variance. This is a variance that was originally acted on by the board in October of last year, and each of the members has received a packet as we go down through that. So the first thing that we need to do, we tabled this at the June meeting at the applicant's request. So the first thing we would need is a motion to remove this variance from the table so we can proceed.
So move.
Second. Okay, we've got a motion and a second to remove VAR 04-10 from the table. We need to roll call that. Okay.
Miller.
Aye.
McGill.
Aye.
Scarlett.
Aye.
Fehlmeyer absent. Larson absent.
Now, one thing for the board members to consider, this board in October did consider this application and did render a decision at that point in time. The question that I would have for the board, you've all received the materials that have been submitted to us, both the original materials and the materials subsequent to that, and we need to consider, first of all, whether you feel that there's a need to reconsider or whether you do not have any substantive changes that you can perceive out of the materials that are there, and whether we should not approve this request for reconsideration. Have comments from the board?
I've driven out and looked at the property. I would be willing to take it under reconsideration, looking at the way it sits.
Okay. One thing to remember this evening, we are normally a five-person board. We are required to have a quorum. So on all of our decisions this evening, we must be unanimous, mm-hmm. or it will be considered to be disapproved. I guess I would ask,
I understand that you had no comment. I'd like to find out the level of support that we have, since, particularly since we're three as opposed to five.
I'd ask for a motion to grant the request for reconsideration, or a lack thereof, whatever we...
Move to grant motion of reconsideration of BAR 04-10 Vince Variance.
I'll second that.
Okay. So we have a motion and a second to allow the request for reconsideration on BAR 04-10. Roll call.
Miller.
Aye.
Gill.
Aye.
Scarlett.
Aye.
Now, as I go through this, and I know we normally go through a staff report, and Sheena, I don't know if you have anything beyond that, but as I looked at the application, essentially the application is the same.
Yeah. The staff report that I put together for October is still the same, except I did email you guys a memo about the change in setback requirement from 9 feet to 34 foot.
Not a change in substance, it was a matter of change of record.
Yeah, we originally measured from the property line, and it should be from the right-of-way line, so that's the corrected part of that. And we do have, Angie submitted some information.
Yep. And we've got that, and does everybody acknowledge, and do we need to enter
some information that she submitted tonight before the meeting.
Before the meeting.
That we would like.
Okay.
For the record.
Have that? Let's take a look at that then.
Okay.
And I'll paraphrase this real briefly, having never looked at this. We have got some signed statements, assumingly from neighbors, that says that we, the undersigned members of Hickory Hills, do not object to the Vince's proposed garage addition as presented to Story County. And we also have an email here from Amy Mooney that indicates that they did not see a problem with it, nor do I think it would depreciate the property. Several have detached buildings already. So, a chance to look at that. That's paraphrasing in terms of what we've been. So that is in addition to what was previously submitted. Procedurally, we haven't acted on many of the aspects of this variance request previously. The only single item that's left is the item 1A, which is in terms, as we go back to that, to remind the board and the others, and that, if I can get back to, as to whether the property can, we get way too much paper in here. We've got the legal principles, and the biggest one that always comes in here on every variance is 1A, where the land in question cannot yield a reasonable return if used only for the purpose allowed in that zone. All other aspects of this application have previously been approved by the board, and frankly, in the interest of time, I see no reason to revisit those. And so I think procedurally what I'd like to do is to give the applicant an opportunity to respond to the section 1A. So. If you would. Oh, is that so they're mic'd up, so you're okay? Never mind. Normally we put people there. We're not accustomed to having a separate station. Bright green.
Now it is. Can you hear me? Okay.
Could you identify your name and your affiliation?
I will. I'm Angelina Thomas, and I'm here representing Kathy and Steve Vince, the homeowners and applicants for the variance request before the board. I'm a member of the Newbro Law Firm in Ames, Iowa. Ladies and gentlemen of the board, thank you very much for the reconsideration in this matter. And as the chairman has identified, I think the fighting issue in this case always has been Principle 1A. And I've presented to the board a packet of information and an argument in writing already, but I will summarize that. In short, the Story County Board of Adjustment gets its authority through Iowa Code, or through the Section 13.30, which was gleaned its authority from Iowa Code Section 335.10. And when you look at that Iowa Code section, it talks about the point of making special exceptions to the terms of ordinances in harmony with general purposes and intents of those ordinances. Clearly, I think what the statute is indicating is that variances are to be granted, if at all possible, when they can be harmonized with the ordinances and the general intent of those ordinances. And I believe in the fence variance we can do that. When you look at the strict application, however, of Principle 1A, that creates a problem. I did some research, not being very familiar with real estate. I do primarily family law and personal injury litigation. So I had to do my research, and I did some research, and looking at the, and I've cited it in my argument, but looking at the 83 American Jurisprudence Second Edition Zoning and Planning, a quote from that section 808 states, a large number of states read a distinction between area variances versus use variances, and they apply a less stringent standard in the case of area variances, that boards actually read that distinction into ordinances. And we're asking this board to do the same here. When you look at the specific wording of 1A, it talks about being able for a property owner to establish that he or she cannot yield a reasonable return if used only for a purpose allowed in that zone. So it's focusing on the purpose. We're not asking for the property to be used for a different purpose. We're simply asking for an area variance. So we believe this is not applicable. The Section 1A simply does not apply. And I think, again, the precedent for that being found is inapplicable in cases such as this is found, again, in that AMJUR, which states most states do apply that less stringent standard when we're talking about dimensional variances. There's also precedent from this board itself back in 2007 in the Culp decision, which has also been provided. Very similar case. Property owner wanted to build an auxiliary garage detached like this that would be in violation of that front setback. They looked at the topography and said, and the board agreed that nowhere else on the property could an attached garage be placed. And they agreed to the setback, finding that 1A, Principle 1A, was not applicable. They didn't give any reasoning, but I think implicitly they're following the reasoning that's discussed in the American jurisprudence in terms of the area versus the use variance. And I think if the board stringently applies Principle 1A in cases such as this, it would be virtually impossible for a homeowner to ever come in requesting a setback variance for an auxiliary building, because it could always be established that they've reached reasonable return already by virtue of the home already on the premises. And I think that reasoning and that strict application is contrary to that intent set forth in the Iowa Code, which gives this board its authority ultimately to try to harmonize these variances with the general intent. The other principles have been met, and I won't review those. Or outlined in my outline, but the topography is such that the Vinces cannot build this garage anywhere else. This is a rural community. There's a pasture across the street. There aren't any other homes that would be affected by this. They have subdivision support behind them for this. And many, and I know you have, Mr. McGill, been out in the area, but if you drive through this, it's a very open atmosphere. Many of the homes have outbuildings, multiple car garages, And frankly, many of these, when you look at the lines from the aerial views presented by planning and zoning, aren't in compliance with the ordinances in terms of setback. And I think that is an important distinction also from the last meeting. Because of that issue with the measurement error, the actual setback line for the Vinces is at their property, is at their home right now. In fact, part of their garage on the north side is a little bit beyond or in violation of that setback. They would have to build a little bit behind their house for that garage to be in compliance with the setback. So I guess I'd reiterate a request that the board apply a less stringent application of Principle 1A, finding that it's not applicable in cases of area variances such as this, and to grant the variance. I would note that back on June 8th, I believe it was, the Eichner property, which is a neighboring property, was granted by this board a variance for an existing cottage, which is actually even closer when you look at the, and I think there's an error maybe in the measurements there, but it's approximately the same distance, we'll say, as this property would be, and has more trees around it. And we certainly hope that that wasn't granted just by virtue of the fact it was already built. The Vinces are trying to do this the correct way. They've invested some money doing so, and we ask that they be approved. And I think you can harmonize that with Culp and Eichner, again, if this board simply applies or chooses not to apply 1A in this matter. Thank you.
Any other comments from the public on this one? Any questions from the board? Okay. Normally we would then ask for a closing statement. Do you have any other closing statements beyond what you've already told the board?
No additional information. Thank you.
And we will close.
May I ask a question before we close?
Sure.
Could you show me exactly kind of on this photograph where the wall of this proposed garage would be?
Photograph you have from before?
Okay. I think out of the many pieces of paper I have here.
Okay. That's kind of what I thought, but I just wanted to get that reconfirmed. Okay.
Yeah. That's out. So actually, it's this way, not this way.
Oh, okay.
That's the thing. To... Any other questions? Okay, then we will close and enter into deliberations. Normally we go through these questions one by one, but I believe our situation here is a little bit different. I do have a question for staff. You know, as it was presented here, many states have got, and we've had training sessions and talking about Iowa and how Iowa deals with this as opposed to other states and et cetera. This concept of area variances with use variances, are there any concepts, precepts, things, conversations in the state of Iowa on that topic?
Many jurisdictions, including Story County in the state of Iowa, prohibit outright use variances. In my tenure here, we've never approved nor even considered a use variance. I do understand that many states do make the distinction. There have been talks over the past few years at the state level of reducing the hardship test for variances across the board in Iowa, and even addressing 335 to a greater degree to make it more clear and including the legal principles within it. But for now, Story County does not approve use variances. And you have in the past, as Ms. Thomas indicated, have said that this particular criterion is not applicable.
And we have, I mean, there is no question that the board has taken each case on its merits. Each case is without precedence in terms as we go, because each case has its own particular set of circumstances that go with this. And I also would believe, and I'd certainly like to actually in this case admonish the applicant, this board has historically looked to find solutions. And unfortunately, I was disappointed when I looked at this request for reconsideration with no concept of changing anything. You know, it's kind of like I want to build what I want to build, and I don't want to accept anything else. And without trying to compromise to anything else, we've constantly looked for ways to work together. And unfortunately, I'll just tell you right up front, I'm disappointed that you didn't go back and look at this to see, isn't there something else that I can do to make this be closer to what the county is asking us to do? Because clearly on the black and white session, we would have to say no at this point. So I will give you an opportunity to respond because you're just dying to respond. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you. Well, we certainly appreciate your comments, but I think we would create a new issue if they did move the building any closer, assuming it was feasible, because then you have the issue of the air circulation too close to the home. And there is an existing slab there, and it would still be in violation of the setback if you moved it closer.
Thoughts or comments from the board?
This is a tough one because I have seen, I've been out there, I've seen the topography. I've got empathy with your situation. But I also know how law works. So.
Lynn, do you have some? I'm just reviewing some of my variety of pictures. Went back to the record of the minutes of October, and unfortunately the two members that both exhibited significant concern are not here this evening from that perspective.
Mm-hmm.
As we went down through that, I went back to that. Is Mr. Vince, is there no compromise in here at all that you could consider?
I actually came back and presented a change of orientation. I think that you had requested to reconsider where this thing could go, if it could be turned to meet a 40-foot distance from the road center, which at that point we all thought, or I think there was a thought that was right-of-way instead of the actual right-of-way.
And I brought that whole thing up about roads and right-of-way the last time around because I wanted to make sure we were clear.
I can change the orientation of the building. I'd have to move some established trees or destroy them. The only problem with changing the orientation is that it brings then the closest wall to the house even closer. And if there's any fire, if there's any difficulty with the structure at all, it's going to have a better potential to jump. Where that would be presently, where the slab is presently, would take everything far enough away from the building that it would not create that potential. It would also leave established trees where they are. I looked at the effect when we first thought about putting this slab, how to orient it. We wanted to orient it with the road, and the contractor said, no, you know, it's going to be better this way because you'll be perpendicular to the existing driveway. It will just look better and sort out better with it. Unfortunately, that side of the property has the oak lane angling across it to the extent that no matter what I do with it, it's going to be close to oak lane. If there was some way to move it, if the ground was flatter and I could move it back behind the or alongside the house, I would still be coming too close to the Eichner lot by the time it was set out in the same way that it would be set out now. And it's not a big structure, 17 by 20 feet, is what we're looking to do, something to just put a cover over the pickup, and you know, so when we get hail bombed, we don't lose it all. That's the main intention. And I don't think there's anywhere else on that property that structure could go if we were to build something that would accomplish what we're trying to do. That's they have a lot to the north, yes.
What's your comments for Gordon? Well, essentially, as a note to the board members, essentially what we have here is a determine whether we really have to believe whether there are extenuating circumstances. We've talked and explored alternatives to try to come up with the best possible solution. There certainly are certain restrictions. We know there's a septic and some trees in the area that eventually start to affect this application. We approach each and every one of these requests like this seriously, okay? It's not an arbitrary decision as to why we decide one or the other. And as I said before, we really try to work with the applicants to come up with a decision that is, if it's a reasonable development of the property, that also is reasonable relative to the regs that we've got to make our decisions under that framework. And I believe a lot of times we've been successful doing that. Sometimes we don't make the decision that was what the applicant would desire, which in your case was the case last October. And in a strict enforcement, you're exactly right. We have to say no in a strict enforcement. And we've got to decide as a board now, do we feel we have enough extenuating circumstances to grant the possibility that Section 1A would not apply? That's essentially the decision that's in front of us right now.
I guess that, like I said, I've driven out there, I've looked at it, I've seen the way that property lies. I do have empathy for the situation. I think it is a little bit unique. So my attitude is, since just due to the way the property lies and the hardship that was pushing him to not do this, as well as the fact I'm not sure it violates any of the other problems out there. It doesn't cause any problems within the subdivision, that sort of thing. I would be in favor of granting the variance simply because of the nature of the property.
Okay.
Really? I agree with that, I guess. Looking at the
We're at a point where we have to be unanimous or there's no sense having a conversation. So that's why I'm kind of...
that's why I don't want to set precedents, but I also see these circumstances and I feel that he's got a point. They are unique. I mean, that property lays just like that. It'd be easy to say you could move some trees and you could meet us halfway, but at the same time, if you are still in you still have to get a variance to do that anyway. And I've also, it takes a long time to grow a tree. So I guess based off that, I'll bring the question to the table and I'll move to accept the EAR.
I would suggest, since you've already acted in one manner, to work through the findings of fact, decision, order, and that's been recorded, that you should do the same process and do the findings of fact, decision, and order again.
Okay, we really only have... I don't have all of that. Well, I probably have it here somewhere. Like I said, we have too much...
We have plenty.
Plenty?
I have the original staff report.
We have the original staff report, and we have the one correction that we need to make. Is that correct? Okay. And would you like to... state that correction again so that I can get that.
Yeah.
Define, there's eight items for the standing of fact. Which item do we need to fix? New business, page 3 is what I have here.
Number seven.
Seven says the applicant is requesting a 9-foot variance.
Yep.
Permitted that the closest part of the accessory would be located 31 feet. So those numbers should be what?
The applicant is requesting a 34-foot variance.
And so the structure would be?
At number... 60, yeah. Mm-hmm. For 40. 40 is... Correct.
We have a correction on item 6.
6 and 7.
Feet. Accessories are still supposed to be 34. What was your 7 number, Sheena? Well,
expecting a 34-foot variance.
Gotcha. So we have two corrections to the findings of fact. With those corrections, I need a motion to accept the findings of fact as amended.
So moved. I'm sorry. Almost corrected by me again. I've
lost. On item 6, the concrete slab is 6 feet from the right-of-way. So on item 7, the applicant's requesting a 34-foot variance, and then rather than 34, it's 6. So we're adding up to the 40.
No, it's fine.
So we go. Okay. So motion to accept the findings of fact as amended.
So moved.
So we got a motion. Oops, sorry.
Second.
A motion from Scarlett and a second from McGill to accept the findings of facts with the amendments. Of item 6 with the concrete slab is 6 feet from right away, item 7, which is the 34-foot variance, located 6 feet from existing right away.
Okay.
Roll.
Aye.
Scarlett?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Okay, we come down to the legal principles, and essentially we have approved the legal principles previously, and what we would need to do is if we are where we kind of indicated, is that due to extenuating circumstances, that we would consider that item 1A would be non-applicable with all other legal principles being approved. I'd need a motion to that effect.
So move to that effect.
Second.
Okay, we've got a motion from McGill and a second from Scarlett to approve the legal principles with the understanding that Section 1A of unnecessary hardship does not apply due to extenuating circumstances of the site. Lowell?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
McGill?
Aye.
So having gone through the portions of the findings of facts and with the legal principles, then our final action is to determine whether we want to approve VAR 04-10 as proposed and as amended this evening.
I move that we approve VAR 0-10 as presented this evening.
Second.
Okay, we've got a motion and a second to approve variance case VAR 04-10 as proposed and amended this evening. Roll.
Charlotte?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
McGill?
Aye.
That's only a different piece of paper this evening, and then I threw half of them over towards you. We need to keep that out here as a record.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we will move over to new business now. And our new business item for this evening is a conditional use permit requirement for CUP 02-11, the Wonder Conditional.
Let's come over here. Okay, CUP 02-11 is the Wonder Conditional Use Permit request. The applicant tonight is Weston Wonder. They are located at 31295 510th Avenue in Slater. It's designated as Cooperative Planning Tier 3 on the Land Use Framework map. The current zoning is A1, and its current use is commercial as well as residential with two single-family dwellings, which we'll kind of get into. Here's a vicinity map of the property. This is just north of Slater on 510th. The requested action is for a conditional use permit for a greenhouse nursery that is already in existence. It's known as Landscapes by Design. And as you are aware, greenhouses and nurseries are allowed as conditional use in the A1 zoning district. A little bit of background information. The property was bought by the Wonders in 2005, at which time a plat of survey was done, which resulted in the two houses being located on the property. The division created a non-conforming lot with two homes. It is in the understanding that at the time of the split, the property owner was involved in the farming operation. The Planning and Zoning Office does not have any record of this ag exemption from the current property owner. And we bring this up because as we notice the business, and we do work case by case, we did notice the two houses on there, which is technically they haven't applied for an ag exemption permit, so I mean we can talk a little bit more about it later too. On April 6, 2011, the Planning and Zoning staff was made aware of the excessive amount of vehicles on the property. An aerial photograph showed the vehicles along the landscaping materials at the west end of the property.
A website for landscapes by design was found and contained the address for the Wonder property on which the business is currently taking place. Notice of violation 0311 was issued on April 8, 2011, as the landscaping business would need to go through a conditional use process. So currently it is an illegal use. On April 11, 2011, Weston Wonder contacted the planning and zoning office with the steps he needed to take in applying for the conditional use permit. On May 2nd, a conceptual review application was received by Mr. Wonder, and they met on May 9th to review the application. A development application for the conditional use permit was received on June 2nd, and on June 15th, the interagency review team met to review the application. Here's just an aerial showing the property. You can see the business is taking place on the west end of the property. We can come back to this as well. Considerations. A majority of the commercial nature of this business takes place on the west end of the property, which is located approximately 350 feet from 510th Avenue. Existing facilities will be used as in recent years when it was a farming operation, meaning no new buildings are said to come. There is a non-conforming single-family dwelling, like I said, on the property. Only one single-family dwelling is allowed on a parcel of land unless the property is being used for agricultural purposes and an agricultural exemption application has been approved. The subject property is located a little less than a mile from the city limits of Slater. The property will be visible by two neighboring properties from the north and south, approximately a quarter of a mile. Access to the business is a rocked driveway off of 510th Avenue. Approximately eight company vehicles and trailers exit the drive in very early morning hours and return throughout the day on a varied work schedule. All loading of landscape materials into trucks and trailers will be done on-site, approximately 100 yards from the county roadway. There is rock and gravel parking provided for 10 employee vehicles and 15 company trucks and utility machines. The driveway is 24 feet wide with ample storage area for materials. The applicant has stated one sign of limited compliance size will be erected. There will be limited exterior security lighting on the property of which should be of no distraction to neighbors or traffic. All on-site landscape materials will be housed and sheltered so as to minimize dust and odor. On July 11th, the Surrey County Planning and Zoning Commission reviewed the subject conditional use permit. At the meeting, they recommended approval of CUP 0211 and have directed staff to put it on tonight's meeting with the following conditions of approval. Number one, any new structure used wholly or in part for the established nursery shall acquire a conditional use permit modification prior to the issuance of a zoning permit. Such modification shall not be approved unless it is determined that the issuance of a zoning permit will be in accordance with the intent, purpose, and spirit of the Story County Land Development Regulations. Any signage on the property must apply for a sign permit, and an agricultural exemption application be applied for by the property owner in order for the second dwelling to remain on the property. And then these I've put in your staff report are the alternatives that you have to consider tonight. Any questions?
Item three, you know, where it says the exemption application shall be applied by the property owner for the second dwelling to remain on the property, but then it says four steps shall be taken by the existing property owner.
Right. I mean, usually, you know, if somebody is building a house and they have their second dwelling there to live in, they usually have 12 months to take down that house. In this case, this could mean the steps to apply for the ag exemption or a subdivision or, like we mentioned in the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting, a variance.
I'd like to go back to a little bit to the history at the very beginning to understand how we came to, I mean, the statement was that the greenhouses have been there for, you know, how long? I mean,
2005. Is that correct? They bought the property in 2005. And
they bought it, but I think the slide ahead of that or something, I think you had, did you have something ahead of that, Shane?
Maybe I was listening.
The facilities will be used, is that what you meant?
We talked with the applicant then at that point in time.
Yeah, you know.
So we, with the two houses, do we have a legally existing non-conforming situation?
Yes, as they haven't applied for an egg exemption or taken any measures.
Are they legally existing relative to when the zoning was put in place?
Before they bought the property in 2005, the gentleman who owned it was in a farming operation.
With two houses. So there's another house. Got a little bit confused with some of this back and forth and houses and.
So they bought it in 2005. Not in agri. It wasn't agricultural. Then it became a violation.
Yes.
Any other questions you raised with finding the fire?
I considered an agricultural. Business?
No. Egg exemption, in my understanding, is the raising of livestock or farming the ground.
Fine.
You might want to ask them what was done before, but
that they bought the property in 2005.
Yeah, all existing facilities were there in 2005 when they bought it, but
they weren't using it as a nursery.
Not that I'm aware of. That might be better explained by them too. And like I said, this is being brought up because we can't approve a conditional use permit or anything else while there's a violation on the property.
My own clarification, if it was an ag operation, if it was a farming operation with livestock and whatever,
this wouldn't even be brought
then they
in.
Can have two homes on the property. Okay.
So the real violation here is the two homes bringing this here.
Yes.
That's a nursery.
That's correct.
That's a nursery.
It is a violation because they haven't gotten the conditional use permit for it yet. But now this is just...
That's the stipulation of planning and zoning that be fixed
right.
On that item number three.
Yeah, that I understand.
So right. If item number three is taken care of and we accept that recommendation, that's not something we need to dwell on tonight.
Okay.
Because that would be a condition.
Okay.
So I don't think we have to dwell on the... Okay. Two versus one. I think what we need to dwell on here is whether this is a reasonable condition use and ignore the fact of the two houses so long as we don't want to modify the conditions.
Okay.
That's the way I would look at that.
On the use of the property.
The use of the property and the area that it is where, you know, we've got our conditions and well, of course, we'll get into that in deliberations where we have got to deal with road traffic
right.
And other stuff. So I think we need to stay focused on, you know, not on the land and not on the houses.
But the use of the property.
But is this on the use of the property relative to the conditions that we have?
Okay.
So, but we needed to explore that because some of this information kind of seemed to be a little garbling when you read it for the first time. Okay. Anything else for staff?
Mm-mm.
If not, we would ask for someone who wanted to speak for the applicant to address, which you can either come to the podium or we have this other desk over here that you're all welcome to take or we're not accustomed to. That's fine.
Cool. Thank you. Assumption is we can speak on our feet maybe just a little easier as we can be seated. I'm Howard Hammond from a Stray County resident in Slater, and a friend of Western Wonders, the applicant here in this situation. And these are busy days for Western, so he said, I've got to take care of my business and my running, not to belittle the importance of what's going on here, or previously. And I told him I'd jump in and help. I'd like to introduce Western, who's in the room here, as well as Jennifer Davies. Jennifer is the Economic Development Coordinator for the City of Slater, and she is also a member of the Slater Business Group. As we approached the situation with the Planning and Zoning Commission, we had very good communications as we provided application materials and data that the staff requested. So I can appreciate you understand we've got maybe more than a one-step process here. The chair, Mr. Miller, is correct in that what we're wanting you to do is truthfully just make a motion that you endorse and will go along with the P&Z Commission, and that puts us in place for having received the conditional use permit permitting us to continue in his business as nursery landscape continuing as he is. We were prepared to answer any questions in regard, as we did with the earlier last month with the TNZ group. And it turns out that we know if you decided that's the way you want to operate this evening and that's the action you want to take, we know from the staff has indicated they give us guidance in answering the question about the double. We were here when we recited to the P&Z group that we had the former owner that sold, that started the place in early 1900s, and the reasoning there are two residences, which played into Weston's business very well because he then had opportunity for his family to be resided as well as his, so to speak, foreman to look after the properties of the families away. So it looked to be a perfect thing and to situations to how residences exist for that long. Staff said, as you just heard, that that's not in compliance with the current regulations, so we've got to take these steps. So we're prepared to proceed with the conditional use permit in the operation. We think we've satisfied everything having to do with health and odors and neighbors, etc., and that's all matter of record. So beyond that, then, we'll need to go back to staff. I don't mean to be moving to second base before we get done the first base, but we need to go back to staff. And evidently, from what we understand, we'll be back before you because you'll need to consider also if we're in step with the continuation of the two residences. If not, the only alternative to him, as we understand it, is that one residence has to be moved or there has to be a subdivision of the area. And those don't seem to be too practical for him, but don't let that interfere with your decisions of this evening on the conditional use permit. We'll cross the bridges as we move forward to rationalize where we're going with this. I hope I've maybe answered
some. I think we agree with you. We needed to work through a few of those things ahead of time just to make sure, yes, we are part of a sequence. I'm sure that's frustrating to you to a certain part as we have to go through these steps to get you past this hurdle, which only brings you to the next hurdle. And yep, we understand that. And I do understand that as you move through this that we may talk to you again.
And we're not,
depending on how this goes.
We're not suggesting before the P&Z Commission, the staff or you folks, that this is just a pushover thing. We want to comply and do what needs to be done to be in conformity with the state of affairs. I believe that's all I have to say, but unless Weston or Jennifer has a comment. It's
the only thing that I would ask, I mean, there's some statements in here on the amount of traffic and other stuff like that. Are you in agreement with those numbers do characterize the nature of your business? Okay. Why don't you step up there?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, we're pretty, in the winter, it really drops off because all of our equipment's on site. So 4 months of the year, it's basically my truck and one sanding truck. So it's very minimal those 4 months. But the other times of the year, yeah, that's accurate. Absolutely. Yep.
I wanted to make sure that represented the nature of your business, at least as it exists today.
Yep, absolutely.
Questions for the applicant while we've got?
No.
I just had one question. You're within a mile of Slater? Is that right? Okay.
Yep.
So doesn't it apply like it does in Ames with their...
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't. Okay.
No,
in the county, there's no fringe. Okay.
Well,
okay.
Ames has a fringe.
Okay. All right.
But the other communities in the county, you know.
Okay.
The 2 mile jurisdictional boundary only applies to subdivision of land.
Oh, okay.
Unless an intergovernmental agreement has been reached between the county and whichever respective jurisdiction it may be.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
Well, I guess I'll give you the opportunity to have a closing statement if you wish. That's normally the second part. We don't have anybody else from the public to respond. Okay. Good. I'm glad that your experience was positive, although I know you're running a gauntlet here as you go through it. Part of the process. Okay. Did we have a motion on the findings of fact? I didn't think so. Okay, we're going to close and go into deliberation. That's the first part of that. Do we have any revisions or concerns about any of the findings of the staff report that we need to know? Hearing none, I'd like to have a motion to accept.
So moved to accept the findings of fact.
Second.
Okay, we've got a motion from Scarlett and a second from McGill to accept the findings of fact and the staff report as submitted on CUP 02-11. Roll.
Aye.
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 Okay. Then we have our standards for approval, and I'll read through these very briefly. We have to deal with compatibility, any concerns of transition, any concerns on traffic, concerns on parking and loading, signs and lighting, which is addressed, environmental protection. Does anybody of the board have a concern on any of those items?
No.
Okay. So then the next item that we have, if we conclude that those criteria will be met, we must recommend approval of the application unless it concludes there is a strong probability that this application will not adequately safeguard health, safety, and welfare of persons, will not impair adequate supply of light or air to surrounding properties, will not unduly increase congestions in the roads or the hazard from fire, flood, or similar dangers, will not diminish or impair established property values, and will not, in accord, meet the intent and purpose of the land development regulations for Story County. Any concerns about any of those items? As we've already verbally concurred on those, then we would ask for a motion to agree that the standards for approval and that the additional criteria have been met on the proposal as put forth before the board.
I move that the standards of approval have been met as set forth. CUP 02-11.
Next second, sir.
Okay, we've got a motion from McGill and a second from Scarlett that the standards for approval have been met along with the criteria, development criteria for the land development regulations and the development plan.
McGill?
Aye.
Scarlett?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye. So then we've got our final approval then, recommendation for approval for CUP 02-11 as proposed, which does include, we probably need that in there. We may need to amend or reverse that we've got to adopt the planning and zoning, or we would adopt that by inference because it's in our document.
I think if you, I have some suggested language.
Yeah.
Move to adopt the order approving the request as proposed by the applicant in case number CUP 02-11. As discussed by the Board of Adjustment and the staff report prepared for and presented to the Story County Board of Adjustment, finding that all standards for approval have been satisfied subject to the requirements placed by the Planning and Zoning Commission.
So moved.
Didn't you want to repeat that?
Okay. I will at least paraphrase.
Okay.
She has an advantage. We've got a motion and a second to approve KCUP 02-11 to include all the findings of this evening as well as the recommendations from the planning and zoning, of which there are three, as submitted to the board. Roll.
Arla?
Aye.
McGill?
Aye.
Miller?
You are approved to go on to the next step.
So good luck to you. Do we have any other business to present to the board this evening? Staff or board members? Any comments from the board this evening? Any comments from staff?
As of now, I don't believe you have a September meeting, but we will get the mail in the morning and let you know.
Hearing no other business, and we're going.
I just want to note, this is a rarity that we'll be sitting up here. Kristen's still training on doing the minutes, and so it was easier for us to sit here than being cramped down there. You had room. That's why we did this.
My only suggestion is that if the past couple meetings have been here, you kind of have the language laid out in front of us. And that way it's easier
to... We have the draft line, but we have to tell Kristen to put them on.
And then I got confused by the...
Oh, yeah.
Okay. We're adjourned.
Yes.
Okay.
We are adjourned.